I'm pulling my driveway. We all know what that means. It's time for the drive to work. So I'm in the middle of doing Modern Horizons card by card stories. So we're up to Kay and Kaya's Guile. Okay, so Kaya's Guile costs one white black, so three mana total, one of which is white, one of which is black. It's an instant. Choose two, and there's four choices. Each opponent sacrifices a creature, exile all cards from each opponent's graveyard, create a 1/1 white and black spirit creature token with flying, or you gain four life. And then it has entwine three. Choose all if you pay the entwine cost. So remember from last time I talked about entwine, this is a mechanic I literally dreamed up in Mirrored in Black. I went to bed trying to solve a problem, and in my dreams I dreamed it up and woke up and wrote it down. So normally an entwine card has, it's modal and you have two choices. You pick one, and then if you pay the entwine cost, you get both. So this is kind of mixing an entwine with a command. A command is something in which you have four choices and you pick two. So this is kind of an entwine command where you get four choices, pick two, but if you entwine it, then you get to pick another two. So this is kind of a cute tweak. The other thing that's nice about this card design is, so there's four things. So each opponent sacrifices a creature, that's a black ability. Exile all cards from each opponent's graveyard, both white and black can do that. Create a 1/1 white and black spirit creature token with flying, both white and black can do that. You gain four life. White does that. Now white can't get rid of creatures, black can gain life. Neither does it quite the way that those spells are doing it, but it is something that white and black can do. So the idea is all the effects here are things that are playing around in white and black space. One is just a white effect, one is just a black effect, and two are a white slash black effect. So it's a nicely designed card. The other thing that threw people with this card was it references Kaya. So Kaya is a white-black planeswalker. We met her originally in Conspiracy Take the Crown. Then she showed up sort of helping out Bolas run the Orzhov, though she rebelled against that. She then joined the Gatewatch. Anyway, there's, for some reason, because there's not a lot of planeswalker referencing in Modern Horizons, people thought like this was some leftover from somewhere. I think they said a white-black card. They were looking for a white-black character. They thought it'd be fun to do Kaya. This is not left over anything. This was made for this specific product. But I know there's... Because the way the creative works in the set is we can go anywhere and do anything, it just is an opportunity to reference a lot of non-Planeswalker characters because we can go to specific worlds. A lot of times when we're trying to do something, we have to do it within world. And so Planeswalkers could be on that world. So sometimes we can refer to Planeswalkers a little more. But in this set, because we could spread it out, we could just mention things that are locked to certain planes. So we did a little bit more of that than we normally do, because, you know, we're kind of plane agnostic in the set. But anyway, this card was made for this set. It is, the Planeswalkers are part of our multiverse, so this was meant for this set. Okay, next, Kes, Dissident Mage. One blue, black, red. So four mana total, one of which is blue, one of which is black, one of which is red. It's a 3/4 legendary creature. It's a human wizard. It has flying. And during each of your turns, you may cast an instant or sorcery card from your graveyard. If a card cast this way would be put into your graveyard, exile it instead. So essentially what it's kind of doing is kind of letting you flashback spells from your graveyard at the same cost that they normally cost. So it turns out that blue and black and red are the three colors that in different ways can cast instant sorceries out of the graveyard. Blue and red are more instant sorcery colors. Black's more a graveyard color, but each one of them has access to do this ability. So there's not a lot of three-color cards in this set. There's only one or two in Modern Horizons. And I think that it came up with this card. It was kind of neat because it overlapped three things. It seemed like a neat commander just because it's kind of a fun build-around. Normally when we care about instants and sorceries, it tends to be a blue-red deck. Because is it and stuff like that. Blue-red is the color combination that most often cares about instant sorceries. But the fact that this ability was something that black could also do is kind of neat to put it in three colors. You know, it allows you to make an instant sorcery deck that is a three-color deck rather than a two-color deck. On Tuesdays, we play... we have an R&D lunch where we play whatever the latest set is, and we bring in lunch. So yesterday, I got to play Modern Horizons, and I got to play Kes, and she was quite good. I played a blue-black deck and splash red just so I could play Well, I splashed red for a couple spells, but one of the main spells was so I could play Kes. And she did not disappoint. Every time I got her out, I did very well. Okay, next, King of the Pride. 2 and a white, so 3 mana total, 1 of which is white. It's a 2/1 cat. It's a creature, obviously. Other cats you control get +2/+1. So one of the things when we were first designing Modern Horizons was there was a lot of... one of the things that's neat about Modern Horizons is because it's kind of, it's planet agnostic and it allows whatever mechanics, I mean, within the range of what we were allowed to use, but we had access to a lot of mechanics. We just could do a lot of different things. So a lot of times players make requests. I mean, I'm on my blog all the time. Players request things all the time. I make lists of things people ask for. And then when I find opportunities to do things that people have been asking for, I like to try to do them. A lot of time I have to really wait to find the right spot for things because, you know, certain things have to be positioned in the right place. But Modern Horizons and the nature of it really allowed us to have things that are a little more, don't quite fit as easily because the constraints of the set is just a little wider. So one of the things I was looking at is a lot of people wanted various tribe type things. And so that's where we got Changeling. We did a bunch of things. And so the white-black draft archetype is Lords Matter. So this is in white, obviously. So what happened was, in Amonkhet, we were doing top-down Egyptian. One of the things about, actually, ancient Egypt is they revered cats. Cats were a big deal to them, and they really liked cats. So we thought, like, oh, here's a chance to do a little bit of cat tribal. The cat tribal went over really well. We made a commander deck with a cat theme. Anyway, surprise, surprise, people really like cats. And so we've definitely sort of been keeping up the cat theme. We saw an opportunity to do another cat card here. Because it went in white and white-black was the Lord's Matter, sort of made sense here. So anyway, we made a cat. So for all you cat lovers out there, here is yet another cat lore. This one's a pretty good cat lore, too. +2/+1 is no laughing matter. And in draft, if you're playing changelings, +2/+1 to all your changelings also is pretty good. Okay. On to the next card. Okay, next is Lesser Masticore. It costs 2 generic mana. It's an artifact creature. It's a Masticore. 2/2. As an additional cost to cast a spell, discard a card. 4, Lesser Masticore deals 1 damage to target creature. And then it has an ability called Persist. When this creature dies, if it had no -1/-1 counters on it, return to the battlefield under its owner's control with a -1/-1 counter on it. Okay, so there was a card... What was it called? There was a card in Antiquities. I'm blanking on the name. It was Mishra something. Mishra's... It was a 5/5 creature with banding, an artifact creature, but you had to discard a card every upkeep. Everyone used to complain that... I mean, the card wasn't particularly a good card, and people complained because it required you to discard a card every turn. Like, how could a card possibly be good if you have to discard a card to it every turn? So I took up that mantle... And I said, I think it's possible to discard a card every turn yet have a good card. So I made Masticore in somewhere in Ursa's Saga block. And so basically, I think it was 4 mana for a 4/4. It had, I think it had flying. I think it did. I'm not sure if it had flying. Anyway, you could spend mana to regenerate it. You could spend mana to do 1 damage to things. And it was quite the powerful card. Even though you're discarding a card a turn, it was a very powerful card. I mean, still played in older formats. In Modern Horizons, we like doing riffs on older cards. So this was kind of like Masticore Jr., Lesser Masticore. So instead of a 4-mana 4/4, it's a 2-mana 2/2. It still has the pinging ability, but I think it's a little more expensive than it was on Masticore, I think. I don't remember exactly the cost. I think Masticore was 2, and this is 4, I think. But instead of making you discard a card every turn, it merely makes you discard a card when you play it. So it's just 1 discard, not continual discarding. And then to just give it a little twist and to use an old mechanic, we used Persist. So Persist was made by Nate Heiss during Lorwyn design. So originally, the idea of Lorwyn and Shadowmoor, with Lorwyn, you know, Lorwyn is the bright version of the plane, and then it goes through a metamorphosis, and there's a dark version of the plane. And we wanted to differentiate the light from the dark. So the idea we had originally was, what if on the light side, things don't tend to get killed, they're more injured and stuff. It's not quite as severe. So we liked the idea of -1/-1 counters as this idea of, well, instead of killing you, I'll just injure you. That seemed not quite as severe. The problem is, normally you heal, and so minus one counters, rather than feeling less severe, felt like crueler. Like, oh, I'm not gonna do damage to you, but damage is not even gonna heal. And it just felt meaner. And so we ended up moving the minus one counters from Shadowmoor to Eventide. Like, so we ended up putting a plus one counter theme in Lorwyn and a minus one counter theme in Shadowmoor. Now, A, they did a lot of fun things. They did a mirror. But also, it felt meaner. It felt like a meaner world. Like Amonkhet, we wanted it to feel like a mean world. So we stuck minus one counter. We've learned that minus one counters makes the world feel harsher, not lighter. Anyway, Nate had made persist for Lorwyn. And when we moved the counters, we moved the mechanic. Persist was the inspiration. I made Undying in Dark Ascension as a riff off Persist. So anyway, it's a fun mechanic. We can only do it in a set that has minus one counters. Obviously, in this set, Modern Horizons, because we were accepting a higher complexity, this set just has both plus one counters and minus one counters. We don't normally do that, but this is also a higher complexity set. So he said, okay, that's something we could do here. But anyway, I like the whole package, and it's kind of a fun card. It's obviously not as powerful as Master Core, but that is mega powerful. Okay, next, Lightning Skelemental. Black, red, red. So 3 mana total, one of which is black, 2 of which is red. It's a 6-1 elemental skeleton, so it's a creature. It's got trample. It's got haste. And whenever Lightning Skeleton deals combat damage to a player, that player discards 2 cards. At the beginning of the end step, sacrifice Lightning Skelemental. So this is a cross between 2 cards, Ball Lightning and Blightning. So yes, by the way, the design name for this card was Ball Blightning. I don't know what that's the kind of name that I would have, I mean, in general it's a cutesy name, but this is the kind of set where we do cutesy stuff. Anyway, I'm not quite sure why they changed the name, but it is a combination of those 2 effects. One of the things that we did in original Time Spiral is we mix and match effects, but we tended to mix and match things that weren't always particularly well known, so it became very obscure to understand. Ball Lightning and Blightning are both pretty prominent spells. Like Ball Lightning, for example, first showed up in the dark. It was designed as kind of a weird variant on direct damage. You know, I think Ball Lightning, red, for 6-1 haste trample. So the idea is, I have this thing, it's going to attack. If you don't block it, it's going to do 6 damage to you, so 6 damage for 3 mana. If you do block it, it's going to kill some number of creatures, and if you don't have enough toughness, it's going to also get through for some damage. So it was a neat twist. It's the kind of card we like a lot. There's not that many cards in Magic that we've made more riffs off of than Ball Lightning. We've done a lot of Ball Lightning variants, so it seemed only apropos. And anyway, it is a fun, I don't know, I think it's kind of a, this is a cool card, and it definitely, there's some multicolor stuff in the set, so it felt nice as a blue-black, as a black-red card, not blue-black, a black-red card. Next, Llanowar Tribe, green, so 3 green mana. It's a 3/3 elf druid, it's a creature obviously. Tap, add, green. So this is Llanowar Elf, first showing up in Alpha, very famous Magic card. 3 Llanowar Elves stapled together. Llanowar Elf is a green for a 1/1 that taps for green. Well, staple 3 of them together, you get green for a 3/3 that taps for green. Also in the art, one of the fun things we did is each of Llanowar's pictured in the art is a Llanowar from a different time we did Llanowar Elves. So it's 3 different Llanowar Elves together. So it's a lot of fun there. This is definitely one of those cards that is the kind of thing that I like to do in a set like Modern Horizons, where you get to sort of riff off things, and it's the kind of card that if you don't get, it's a riff. Hey, a 3-mana 3/3 that taps for 3 green mana is also a fine card all by itself. But it definitely, if you understand sort of the thing behind it, and Llanowar Elves is pretty famous. Like I said, you know, we have to be careful about riffing off things nobody knows. Well, there's few cards as famous as Llanowar Elves. It started in Alpha and has shown up in Magic many, many times. So, anyway, pretty famous. Next, Murder Soul. So, 2 and a white. 3 mana total, one of which is white. It's a 3/2 spirit soldier creature. It's got Convoke. Wait a sec. Sorry. Because I'm tight to myself. It's got Convoke, so your creatures can help cast a spell. Each creature you tap will cast a spell, pays for 1 or 1 mana of the creature's color. When Murder Soul enters the battlefield, if you control no tapped lands, put two plus one counters on it. So this is mixing a couple things. So Convoke is a Celestia mechanic that showed up in original Ravnica and showed up in Guilds of Ravnica. In fact, the only guild mechanic that we used twice. And the other mechanic is, well, an unnamed mechanic, was a mechanic from Prophecy. So Prophecy played around with this caring about your mana thing, and one of the mechanics was an unnamed mechanic, but it rewarded you for being all tapped out. And so, I don't know, for those who remember Prophecy, Prophecy sort of gave you ways to spend your mana and also rewarded you for having all tap mana. And so, and it also had Rhystic, where if you had mana up, you could stop your opponent's spells if you paid two. Anyway, it was a very, very, for those who don't know, Prophecy is a very, very spiky set. It's all about making very razor-thin decisions about how your mana works. Anyway, this is a combination of those two abilities. The thing that's kind of cute about it is that first, what I want to do when I play the spell is tap out all my mana, because instead of a 3-2, then it becomes a 5-4. But because I can use my creatures, I can cast the spell probably a little earlier because I can cast it, tap out my stuff, and then also tap some creatures to play it. So it's very versatile. And then, you know, if you play your cards right, you can get a 5-4, which is pretty cool for 3 mana. Okay, next, Mirrodin Besieged. So 2 and a blue, so 3 mana total, one of which is blue. It's an enchantment. As Mirrodin Besieged enters the battlefield, choose Mirrodin or Phyrexian. If you choose Mirrodin, this enchantment says, whenever you cast an artifact spell, create a 1-1 colorless Mirror artifact creature token. If you choose Phyrexian, it says, at the beginning of your end step, draw a card, then discard a card. Then if there are 15 or more artifact cards in your graveyard, target opponent loses the game. Okay, this is a masterfully designed card. There's so much going on here. So for starters, Mirrodin Besieged was the name of a set. From time to time, we'll have Magic cards that have names of Magic expansions. But usually there are things like Visions or Conflux or something in which it's just a generic word. It becomes trickier when you're referencing something that's very specific. So for starters, they got to make a card. And I think the goal was they wanted one card in the set that was named after a Magic expansion. And they wanted to pick one that was kind of tricky to do. So they picked Mirrodin Besieged. Now, Mirrodin Besieged, the set, took place in the middle of Scars of Mirrodin block. So what happened was we went back to Mirrodin, and there was a war. It turns out the Phyrexians had invaded. And in the first set, in Scars of Mirrodin, we put watermarks. The Phyrexian watermarks were on like maybe 10% of the cards. But you come to the middle set, and it was about 50-50. In fact, at the pre-release, we divided up all the cards in half. Everything with a Phyrexian watermark went into a Phyrexian booster pack, and everything with a Mirrodin watermark went into a Mirrodin pack, and you chose your side, and you played with that half the cards at your pre-release. It's pretty exciting pre-release. And then we did this whole thing where the outcome of the war was a big mystery, and we didn't tell the audience the name of the third. Well, we gave you two possibilities. If the Phyrexians won the war, it was going to be New Phyrexia. But if the Mirrodins won the war, it was going to be Mirrodin Pure. And we mocked up logos and boxes, and it turns out that, well, for those who know the history, the Phyrexians won. It became New Phyrexia. But anyway, so anyway, this card is riffing off a mechanic known as Inker Words that comes from Fate Reforged. So in Fate Reforged, it was the beginning of two timelines. This is during Khans of Tarkir block. One timeline led to the Khans being in charge. That's Khans of Tarkir. One led to the dragons being in charge. That's Dragons of Tarkir. And you had this choice to pick what you had to pick, Khans or dragons. So they use the technology, the Inker Words, but instead of Khans or dragons, you're picking Mirrodin or Phyrexian. So if you pick Mirrodin, you're making, whenever you cast an artifact spell, you're making a mirror token. Mirror tokens right now, I mean, mirror tokens, so far we've only ever made them a Mirrodin. I hope someday we make them not a Mirrodin, just because I like mirrors. But currently they're from Mirrodin, so you're making a mirror token, which is an artifact creature that's unique to that. And then Phyrexians are doing this thing where you're looting, but when you get enough artifacts in your graveyard, you can make somebody lose. So the idea of the Phyrexians, once again, they tend to use poison with infect, but they're very much about making people lose. That's a Phyrexian thing. But the neat thing is both these things care about artifacts. The Mirrodin one rewards you for casting artifacts. The Phyrexian rewards you for discarding artifacts. But you need a deck full of artifacts to make either side work. So the idea is this card goes in an artifact deck. It allows you to have choices when you play it, depending on where you're at and what you want to do. And so it's a really interesting card. Also, by the way, the Phyrexian side, the reason we made opponent lose rather than you win is A, it felt a little more Phyrexian because Phyrexians made you lose with poison. And B, in multiplayer play, like in two-player play, it doesn't matter. You losing, me winning, no difference. In multiplayer play, it's actually more interesting for me to make one person lose rather than I just win. You know, there's a lot of politics in it. Who am I going to kill? I want to make sure once I kill somebody, I'm not too much of a threat that people want to go after me. So it just makes a more interesting dynamic in multiplayer play. But anyway, this is a very well-designed card. One of the best design cards. This is a very, just on the making something that's a total package and making use of the resources you have available in Mirrodin Horizons. Anyway, this is a thing of beauty. So it is a card that in my mind is both a Vorthos and a Mel home run. So that is hard to do. You don't often get to do that. Okay. Next up, Mob. Mob costs 4 and a black. It's an instant. It's got Convoke and destroy target creature. So the idea essentially, and this is kind of cute, that for 5 mana I can destroy a creature, especially in limited, that's a fine cost. But if I have some creatures, well, you know what? They can help me out. The mob can help me kill somebody. So I like it. It's flavorful. The other thing we did in I've talked about in Modern Horizons is we'd like to take mechanics that had been used in certain colors. Guild mechanics are the obvious choice, as such as here, and then put them in other colors. Convoke is a Celestia mechanic. Obviously, we used it twice. We did do Convoke once in a core set, but in general, because we've done Convoke numerous times in Celestia, we've used most of the white and green effects. If you want to make a Convoke white spell or green spell, it gets trickier just because we've done a lot of the basic effects. But you go off to another color, say like black, and you know what? We haven't done Convoke in black very much. So there's just all this open space so we make cool cards, and Modern Horizons really took advantage of that. Okay, next, Morophon the Boundless costs 7 generic mana. It's a legendary creature, a shapeshifter, 6/6. It's got changeling, so it's every creature type. As Morophon the Boundless enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Spells of the chosen type you cast cost white, blue, black, red, green, less to cast. This effect reduces only the amount of colored mana you pay. And other creatures you control of the chosen type get +1/+1. Okay, so this came about. I made this card because, as I said, I was trying to make things that players have been asking for. And one of the most common requests I get is, can I please have a commander with tribal elements to the tribe I love? And sometimes those are tribes that we do occasionally make tribal rewards for. And sometimes it's like my goat deck, my brushwag deck, pick a animal that we don't make that many of. And what I realized was it would take forever to make all of them. So I said, okay, I can't make all of them. What if I made one that is kind of a fill-in-the-blank? So the idea is, whatever your tribe is, this can help you. You can build anything. So we wanted it to be generic mana, so any deck can play it, but we wanted to have a 5-color identity, so you could build whatever creature deck you wanted to build. So part of it was, when I said, okay, I want you to name the creature type and then help the creature type. So what two things can you do that would help any creature type? Well, one is boosting it, +1/+1. That's a very common thing we do with creatures. All creatures have power toughness, so it's something that works on all creatures. And the second thing we decided is to make it cheaper, just make them cheaper. So we ended up doing this blue, black, red, green, white thing because not only did it sort of make something novel and allows you to do shenanigans with Joda and cast Liver Queen for free and stuff like that, but it allowed us to give a 5-color identity. The rules are, if a mana symbol appears in the mana cost or in the rules text, it gives it the color identity. So by having it in the rules text, this has a 5-color identity. So if you play this in Commander, you can play any colors you want with it. We also gave a changeling, so whatever else is in your deck to boost whatever your tribe is, it also will boost this. So anyway, this is one of my favorite cards in the set. I just like that I was able to make something that just could address so many issues at once. That's usually hard to do. And so, and this was something that I made. I think I might have made this during the hackathon. I either made it early vision or during the hackathon. But there's something or maybe I made it an early vision. But anyway, it was something made relatively early, and it lasted the whole way through. Okay, next, Mother Bear. One and a green for a 2/2 bear, it's a creature. Three green, exile Mother Bear from your graveyard. Create two green bear creature tokens. Activate this ability only anytime you can cast a sorcery. So this tells a sad little story. There's a mother bear, and she dies and leaves behind her two cubs. So one of the interesting things about this is... hold on one second. I need a drink. Okay, so in Alpha was Grizzly Bear, and Grizzly Bear is actually a nickname for any green, two-drop in green that's a 2/2. We do a lot of Grizzly Bears, and we've long since, creatures have gotten a lot better since Alpha. So nowadays, not only can you have one green for a 2/2, but you get a lot of extra on that. In fact, I think you can get one green, I think we've made one green 3/3, so clearly you get a lot extra with a 2/2. So this one's like, not only do you get a 2/2 creature, but later in the game, for more mana, you get two 2/2s. So, you know, they're packing a lot in here, so this is definitely a cool card. Next, Mox Tantalite. It's an artifact with spend 3/0. So it's got no mana cost. It's got spend 3 for 0 mana. So rather than cast this card from your hand, pay 0 and exile with 3 time counters on it. At the beginning of your upkeep, remove a time counter. When the last is removed, cast it without paying its mana cost. And then it says tap, add 1 mana of any color. So we wanted to add a Mox. Mox is started back in Alpha. Mox is a 0 cost artifact that taps for some amount of mana. We've made different Moxes over the year. All that's required is it's taps for mana and it's 0 cost artifact. The ones in Alpha tap for a particular color. Those were part of the Power 9, very strong. And we've made a bunch of ones since then. One of the tricky things about making Mox is that they need a big drawback because it's very powerful. So the idea of using Suspend's a mechanic that we did in Time Spiral. We actually invented it before Time Spiral, but ended up saving it for Time Spiral. I think Tinsman came up with it for some other set, and it was just, the set didn't have enough breath for it, and I'm like, oh, hold on. And then I had a Suspend, and I had Split Second. I had a bunch of things in my pocket. And I'm like, we were going into thing, and we had this time theme thing. I love the idea of a set that had a time theme to it, and we did past, present, future. But anyway, we made use of Suspend there. Suspend ended up being not quite as awesome as I was hoping, only because there's a lot of words to explain it. The idea behind it is pretty much is things are cheaper if you, instead of paying mana, pay time. And it's a neat idea, and it played well, but it requires a lot of bookkeeping, and not everybody understood it. And it was one of those mechanics where wrapping your brain around the idea of what does it mean that it costs time was a little hard. Suspend was actually pretty popular among the more enfranchised players, but was not. It was very confusing for the less enfranchised, so it ended up being not really what I consider a success per se. But I do like the idea of using Suspend on a Mox. That's a clever sort of combination. Okay, Ninja of the New Moon. 3 black, so 5 mana total, 2 which is black. It's a 6/3 spirit ninja. It's a creature. We had a lot of fun, by the way, in this set of making ninjas with other creature types. And it has ninjutsu for 3 and a black. So for 3 and a black, return an unblocked attacker you control to your hand. Put this card on the battlefield from your hand, tapped, and attack. So ninjutsu is a mechanic I made for the ninjas back in Betrayers of Kamigawa. And the idea is you never quite know when a creature is magically disguised and is really a ninja. And then most ninjas tend to have some sort of saboteur ability or something that happens when you use ninjutsu or when they enter the battlefield or when you do damage. This one is a cleaner version. It's just big. It's just like that thing, you know, for 4 mana that maybe your 2/2 becomes a 6/3. And so, you know, it definitely can do a lot more damage than you expect. So I like this as a simple ninja. Okay, On Thin Ice. It costs 1 white mana. It's a snow enchantment, an aura. You enchant a snow land you control. And when On Thin Ice enters the battlefield, exile target creature and opponent controls until On Thin Ice leaves the battlefield. Okay, so back in Theros, we made a card called Chain to the Rocks. One of my favorite cards from Theros. And that card is you had to enchant a mountain, and then you did the same thing. The idea is you chained a creature to your mountain. It was making, in Greek mythology, who gave the fire? There was a demigod that passed fire to the humans, starting with P. I'm blanking on his name. Anyway, they chained him as a punishment. They chained him to the rocks, and then vulture came and ate out his liver every day, and they would grow back, and it was a torture. Anyway, we were kind of making reference to the idea of this kind of classic Greek torture, although there were no lizards eating your, vultures eating your liver up. But anyway, this was just a riff on that. We were doing snow covered was a thing, snow was a thing. So the idea of instead of caring about mountains that only a red player might play, you could care about snow covered. And the idea is any deck could be playing snow covered. There's snow covered lands in every color. So this was, it required snow. I mean, obviously, you don't even need a lot of snow. You just need enough snow to be able to use this. And it's clever. And it was a nice riff. I sort of liked what he was doing there. Okay, next, Ore Scale Guardian. 5 red for a 4/4 dragon creature, obviously. The spell costs 1 less to cast for each land card in your graveyard. It had flying and haste. So I'm not sure where the land in your graveyard theme came from. It happened during set design. I think they were just trying to look at things that were going on, and somebody realized that there were a bunch of mechanics like cycling and stuff that could allow you to get land in your graveyard. And so they decided to sort of concentrate them in, I think, red and green. And then just it became this little drafting thing. It's a quirky theme. It's the kind of thing that only worked because of the weird mixed mechanics. But I like the idea. I mean, one of the things that's fun is every color combination has kind of its default. And then what we try to do is some of the times it does the default, and then every once in a while we try to mix it up. And like, normally this color does this kind of thing, but hey, in this set, we get into something a little different. Well, this is something a little different, and I kind of think that was kind of cool. So I do like the quirky draft strategies, just to make you care about things in a slightly different way. There's a lot of red-green decks, but not a lot of red-green draft decks do this. I think that's kind of cool. Okay, next, Pashalik Mons. So it costs 2 red for a legendary creature, Goblin Warrior. It's a 2/2. And whenever Pashalik Mons or another goblin you control dies, Pashalik Mons deals 1 damage to any target. And for 3 red, you sacrifice a goblin to create 2 1/1 red goblin creature tokens. Okay, so Mons' Goblin Raiders is, it was a 1/1 creature in Alpha. It's all it was, just a 1/1 goblin. And by the way, in Alpha, there weren't a lot of goblins. There was a Goblin Balloon Brigade, there was Mons' Goblin Raiders, there was a Goblin King who wasn't even technically a goblin himself. I mean, as a creature type. I guess he was flavorfully, but not a creature type. There wasn't a lot of goblins, there were just a few goblins. But one of, Mons Johnson is a friend of Richard Garfield's. Mons loves goblins, and so when Richard put a few goblins in Alpha, he named one of them after Mons, because Mons loved goblins. And we've been trying to make... So Pashalik Mons is who Mons' Goblin Raiders... That's the character that Mons' Goblin Raiders is named after. Even though, I mean, the card... The name of Mons was named after Mons Johnson. So anyway, we've been wanting to make this card forever. We do have a vanity rule that we don't make things named after people, but this card... Once something's in Magic history, it's part of Magic history. So Pashalik Mons is part of Magic history, so sort of grandfathered in, if you will. But we had tried to make this card numerous times. It just never got made. And this was... I think this is the third time Ethan himself tried to get it in a set. I had done numerous times before that, and other people had tried as well. So, I mean, this is probably the 8th time we tried. But anyway, we finally got it in. It is meant to be a build-around goblin card. And I like the fact that once you get a goblin, it starts replicating your goblins. I think that's kind of cute. And it makes 1/1 goblins, which are what Mons' Goblin Raiders are. Somebody asked me why it didn't make Mons' Goblin Raider tokens, because we have made token making that made specific cards, but because it's just a 1/1, we thought that might be more confusing. I mean, there's some cutesiness to it, but I think if you know Mons' Goblin Raiders, you know they're 1/1 goblins. So I think you get the gist of that's making that reference. And this is something where you really can build around and just fill your deck full of goblins, and this gives you a win condition. So, I mean, not that attacking with goblins isn't another way to win. But anyway, so this is us finally. It took a while. It took 26 years, but finally, Pashalik Mons makes it to Magic on a card. Okay, next, Plague Engineer. So Plague Engineer is 2 and a black. It's a 2/2 carrier. It's a creature. Death Touch. As Plague Engineer enters the battlefield, choose a creature type. Creatures of the chosen type your opponent controls get -1/-1. So this is very cute. There's a card called Engineered Plague that I made, when did I make it? Like Urza's Legacy? It's during Urza's block. And so this is a riff on Engineered Plague. Engineered Plague was an enchantment. They did exactly this, except it was an enchantment. So they're turning it from enchantment into a creature. Instead of Engineered Plague, it's Plague Engineered, kind of cute. And it's a carrier. So for those that like to go deep on their Vorthosian references, the carriers were part of the Phyrexians that was referenced in Urza's Saga. I think Urza's Legacy. Urza's Legacy, we went to Phyrexia for part of it, or the Phyrexians were attacking Tolaria, and anyway, there were carriers, which were, it's a Phyrexian, subtypes of Phyrexian that were in Urza's Saga block. So this is making a reference to Urza's Saga in the card, because Engineer Plague is from Urza's Saga block, and then the creature type, it's following the creative to sort of match that. So there's a lot of very nuanced, like, this card references Urza's Saga, not just mechanically, but creatively as well, which is pretty cool. Okay, next. Plane Bound Accomplice. 2 red for a creature, human wizard, 1/3. For red, you may put a planeswalker card from your hand onto the battlefield, sacrifice it at the beginning of the next end step. Okay, this is another riff on... it's funny, a lot of these cards, I didn't make the riff of it, but I made the original. So this is a card based on a card called Sneak Attack that I made in Urza's Saga. So Sneak Attack allows you to take a creature to do exactly what this card does, but do it with a creature. That you got a creature and you could put it into play and it got to have haste. And you didn't have to cast it, but then it went away at end of turn. I don't know who did it, but somebody said, you know, Sneak Attack for Planeswalkers might be fun. And especially since we had just had a Planeswalker-centric set. So we knew that there was a lot of Planeswalkers out there. And so, plus, in Modern, there's all the Planeswalkers. Or is it all the Planeswalkers? Yeah, it is, because Planeswalkers start in Lorwyn, and Modern starts in Mirrodin, or 8th edition. This is another fun sort of just making reference of it. I think it's kind of fun. Okay, speaking of making fun of or referencing things, Pondering Mage, 3BB, 3/4 human wizard. When Pondering Mage enters the battlefield, look at the top 3 cards of your library, then put them back in any order. You may shuffle your library, draw a card. So Ponder is a spell that costs 1 mana that does exactly what this does as an enter the battlefield effect. And it's a very powerful card. It gets played in a lot of formats. I think it's banned in some formats. It's very powerful. But anyway, once again, making card. The idea here is we put it on a little bit of a body, so it's a 3/4, so we can make the card cost a little more. And Ponder on a 1-drop is a lot more powerful than Ponder on a 5-drop, but you also get the body on it. So it kind of gives you Ponder, references Ponder in a fun way. And it does it a little later in the game by the nature of, because it's on a bigger creature, it gets more expensive. You're not pondering turn 1, you're pondering turn, 6, 7, 8, whatever, you have 5 mana. So I think that is kind of fun. Okay, Quakefoot Cyclops. So Quakefoot Cyclops costs 4 and a red, so 5 mana total, one of which is red. It's a 4/4 Cyclops, it's a creature. When Quakefoot Cyclops enters the battlefield, up to 2 target creatures can't block this turn. It's got cycling 1 and a red, so for 1 and red, you can discard this card and draw a card. And when you cycle, Quakefoot Cyclops, target creature can't block this turn. So this is making reference off Onslaught block. We brought back cycling for the first time. Cycling had been originally in Urza's Saga block. We brought it back in Onslaught block to try to riff things and do things a little different. One of the things we did is we did cards that had a big effect, but when you cycle them, they did a smaller version of the effect. So this is making a throwback to the Onslaught cycling. And the idea here is that this is a creature that we like having red creatures that ETB and keep things from blocking. But one of the things that oftentimes will give those creatures haste, but we don't always, this one doesn't. So this is definitely giving you some utility. We're kind of careful with cycling not to do too much of this, just because cycling starts to feel a little bit more like kicker at times, and so we have to be careful how often. But we do a lot of cycling, do little tiny effects. We also did this riff where we would do large cycling costs that also came with big effects, and that ended up feeling a lot like kicker. We're going to wrap up. I'm now back. I'm now at work. So we got through Q. So I'm hoping tomorrow, next time for you guys, next time we will, I think one more, hopefully I'll finish this off. But anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed the jaunt through, what set is this? Modern Horizons. Anyway, it's fun talking about. There's a lot of fun cards, a lot of fun riffs. And I hope one of the things that's neat about this set is there's so many references to other things. So I hope as I go through them that some of them, if you didn't know that it was referencing something, there's a lot, like I said, we joked this being Time Spiral 2. There's a lot of references built in here. So I hope me pointing a lot of these out are fun for you. Anyway, I'm now at work, so we all know that means. And this is the end of my drive to work. So instead of talking magic, it's time for me to be making magic. I'll see you guys next time.